Yes. Good morning, everybody. You know, sometimes it's tough for me, even during announcements, because there's worship playing in the background that I just start entering in. So it's so I just want to encourage you guys that when you come to church, don't come for one part. It's really the experience of what's happening during the actual day that I think God wants to really help weave a thread into your life. It's not just about one thing, it's about the whole thing. And what is God speaking to you today? And you'll hear today some things, even as I speak, and you'll be able to look back and say, okay, this was a common theme or thread today. Lord, I think you're trying to help me see this in my life. And so it's important for you to do that because it's the very thing that you're going to need that God's trying to do in your life during the season that's not only trying to get you to see what he's doing, but also to help you begin to walk in it. And so God does not leave you powerless or hopeless. At the right time, he always sends in something that is necessary for you. You just have to be ready and to listen to what it is. Most of the time, it's not a God issue. Actually, all the time, it's not a God issue. It's an us issue because our ears are tuned into the wrong thing and the frequency is not where it needs to be. And so a lot of times it takes God a while to get through to us. It's because of all the noise that's in our head. The goodness of God does not change. The glory of God does not change. The promises of God do not change. What God wants to do in your life does not change. As a matter of fact, it's always changing. God is always doing something different, but his plans for you don't change. He said, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That does not change based upon your circumstances today. It does not change. We have to elevate ourselves above our circumstances and tune our ear into what God is trying to speak to us through our circumstances. That's going to help us not only survive it, but overcome it. Because whether you realize it or not, most of us in here are in some sort of transition and change in our life, and God is trying to give us the things that we need in order for us to help us to change. Because he knows that's going to be necessary for our progress and to be able to help us move on into the next phase. Everything is always changing. It's always, the earth right now is spinning. You know that, right? And so God has everything in order. It's in a system, and God does things in your life in the same way. I was talking to someone last night. We were talking about Rubik's Cubes. How many of you ever seen the Rubik's Cube? And you've seen those geniuses on TV who can do it like in 18 seconds. It's all done. It's like that with God. It's like most of the time things are changing in our life, and we get it to, finally we get it. Oh my gosh, all the colors match. And guess what? God says, okay, it's time to change it up again. It turns it a different way and things begin to change. That doesn't line up the way it's supposed to anymore. This just got away from me. This doesn't change. That's not working right because God's saying, listen, it's not going to be about what you want in your life. It's going to be about what I want. And so I'm going to change it up. And so the only constant is God. And so once you begin to understand and rest in God, it'll help you have a healthier perspective and mindset about your life and realize that my life is not my own. It's not whatsoever. And so I can release it up over into God to know that, okay, thank you, God, for the seasons of rest and being able to rest in you. But as sure as day, God will begin to turn up and some things will not begin to work. And how many of you guys can testify to that? All of a sudden, it's like, well, it's not working the way it used to work because God said, I'm doing something different now. You can't pin me down. And he can't try to control me and say, that's the way it's going to be. God will flip it up and say, we're going to do something different. That's just the way it is. Isn't that what the birth was about? They were expecting this king to come in on a horse. Man, he's going to come in. He's going to ride in a royalty. And God said, we're going to flip it up. And he's going to be born in a manger. And matter of fact, it's not going to be Stranger Things. It's going to be Manger Things. We're going to do something totally different. And he's going to come. He's going to be born of a virgin. And it's going to be strange. And you're going to ponder what I did and what I do, but it's going to be the start that's going to help you on your journey to understand what I'm all about. Because I came in to infiltrate your world. You didn't come to infiltrate mine. And so I came to you. And so even as Missy said today, as far as the pursuit of God, God doesn't have to pursue us. He wants to. And that should give you just a whole new appreciation for who God is and for the love of God that will make you just want to throw yourself on the altar and say, God, just go ahead and just take my life just because of the fact that your goodness just will want to come after me. Why? And it's that love that draws us into an intimate relationship with him. And it's one of the things that we get revelation-wise when he begins to talk about how we should pray. When he talks about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why he came, so you can understand how the kingdom is supposed to operate. And so the realization in our life of the goodness of God is not good until we begin to experience it ourselves. We could talk about all the time, well, God's good. It's another thing to when God draws us in and we really experience the treasures of heaven. It's another thing. And I'm really trying to hear this clearly today because I think God wants to bring us into that position in our life to where we begin to understand the value and the richness of a relationship with God, but also the gift that he gave. You've been given a marvelous gift. So much so that during the season, the excitement is in other things, and we see other people, and they're excited about their gifts, and sometimes we get excited about different type of people, kind of like something like this. Maria, show us. Show us the video. Leave the volume. Okay, so we laugh about that and we get excited about it, but how many of us have ever gotten to that point with Jesus where we're like, it's just Jesus. He's just here. And I think God wants to get us to that point of where we're excited about him and everything else is just an afterthought. Not that it's bad, but it doesn't take the place of who Jesus is. That's why he came in and said, there's really two commandments I give you. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself. He said, I'm not doing it the other way. First of all, you got to love me. And if you love me, then you can love your neighbor right. And you can get to a point in your life where you're so excited about him that everything else doesn't thwart the reality that you've experienced with him. No, I've experienced him. And that translates into a relationship with other people where you can love people like. You can love people and you can also let people go to God and trust them over to a God who knows how to work in their life better than you do. The one thing that you begin to realize just in life, and most of us have experienced this, is that you can't hold on to anything in your life. You can't. You got to hold on. There's only one thing you can hold on to, and that's a relationship with God. That's why it's called a firm foundation, the only thing you can stand on, because in a moment, things will change. And so if you're not holding on to who Jesus is, it can be very difficult for you to be able to survive. And God has been reminding me and say, hey, son, it's about me and it's about a relationship with me, not what's happening around you. And that is the very thing that gives me the confidence to continue to go, because no matter what's happening in my life, that as long as my eyes are fixed on the author and finisher of my faith, that I can make it through. But if I am so caught up with who's coming, who's going, what's not happening in my life, it begins to breed instability in my life, and then my confidence is shaken because it's not based upon what's happening in the world or who's not in my life, but it's based upon the goodness of God, and that does not change because God is the firm foundation. I got to be hanging on to him. I have to be. And I would say some of you in your life right now, God has just let the bottom just drop out in your life and say, hey, listen, just as a reminder, it's about me. And God is so good that he'll come in and remind you of that. Just when you think things are the way they're supposed to be, God will come in and just kick the trip switch. You've seen those. There's that show right now. It's that Ellen show where they're all in that game and they don't get the answer right. And Ellen's like, I got to push the button. And you know they're afraid because they're about to go down in there. And no, who knows what's down in there? But they don't get hurt. But they go down in there. But they just know they got to go. And it's the same way, really, in our relationship with God sometimes. It's like, listen, sometimes I don't get the answers right. Sometimes I'm not necessarily where I need to be. All I need to know is that if my focus is upon him, no matter if things are falling around me and if God's causing things to break up around me and things aren't the way they're supposed to be, and I call it the drop, God should say, hey, listen, we're going to come back to a realization that there is nothing hidden between me and you, nothing. I can get to you. If you don't think that God can get to you, God knows how to get to you real good. He'll start moving people around. He's, oh, I thought they loved me. Nope. God said, I'll move them right out. I know how to get to you in the midst of you. Man, he said, you can't stop me from getting to you. And the enemy tries to bring in lies into our life to make us to think that, well, listen, your goodness and how you operate in your relationship with God really dictates the way God loves you. And that's not true whatsoever. God could reach you right now. God's speaking to you right now in your heart. You're in a room full of people. God's still speaking in your heart. That's still a small voice. God's still speaking. God knows how to get to you. In the midst of a crowd, God could pick you out. How many have ever been in a situation where you've been around a lot of people and you're like, you're not really there? Because God's speaking to you on another place and another level, and he's separated you out. And you're like, all right, I hear it. And God allows you to see what's happening through his eyes. That's why you have to understand the way you communicate. You don't communicate with God like we communicate with each other. You communicate with God on a different place and a different level. It's a manger thing. Because he communicated with us through a virgin in a barn. So much so that the shepherds came in glorifying God saying, this is it. Mesmerized by the fact about what was actually happening. I want you to think about that night and what was actually taking place that night. There was no room in the inn. They couldn't find a place for the baby to be born. And finally, they find a stable and they go in. And how appropriate of God to say, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lower myself down. And I'm going to show you how it's supposed to be done. But imagine the beauty and the majesty of the night. And what joy not only filled Mary, Joseph, and those that are around. And remember, the Bible said, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Because even to her, it was curious. It was strange. She was chosen at a young age, but do you think that she understood everything that was going on? Hey, listen, you're going to birth the Savior of the world. You know she was going through some issues mentally about what that actually looked like and actually birth the Son of God, and to be able to look at him and be able to say, I don't know how this is going to pan out. But she pondered all these things up in her heart, and it's the same way God does in our life. He comes in and he shows us things in our life and we begin to ponder about who he is, because it's not normal what he did or what he does. So if you're trying to figure out what God does, it's going to be difficult for you to be able to nail down his process. You can understand the ways of God and how God does things. But when God gets to working in our life, he starts pulling things out, putting things in like only he can. And you cannot reason it with your natural mind. You're just going to have to trust the Spirit of God and the work that's being done and just know, okay, I know he's there because of what he's doing. Like a master chef cooking things up in a pot. He knows what ingredient to put in, what ingredient to take out, so it tastes great. We talk about this whole idea of manger things, but Stranger Things, and most of us know what that is, has been a really hit show on Netflix really over the last several years that people have just taken by storm. And when you actually see the show, it is really a representation of the upside down, they call it, of the spirit world. And it's strange. But it's captivating because people can get a glimpse into what fascinates them, even though they may not understand it. Because even non-believers are drawn to things they don't quite understand. The supernatural is something that draws people in, and it's a magnet for people because inside them, in their conscience, they know there's something bigger than them. And really what it is that the spirit world is a draw for people, but in an unhealthy way, it could really capsize their life if they don't know how to navigate those waters. And really, instead of coming into a relationship with God, they begin to form all different theories about what it's like. Different religions are formed based upon it, and what the enemy does is, and he comes in and tries to create the opposite of really what God is, because you know the enemy can't create, right? All he does is imitate. So he just tries to like, well, I'm gonna take what God did because I couldn't do it, and I'm just gonna flip it on the other side, and I'm gonna try to imitate it. And you know it gets weird because he can't do it like God does. And only you have an understanding of how God works in your life. Why is this important? Because you have to understand when God comes in and does a work in your life, it's strange. It's strange. There are things that I've walked through and been through in my life that I couldn't even tell you. I can't even explain it. I'm not even going to try to. Because God is doing something that's supernatural and behind the scenes in our life that he gives us a glimpse into what he's doing in order to give us hope. But just like this baby that came in, they didn't know the magnitude of what Jesus was going to do. Okay, here's the Son of God. He's in a baby. What's going to happen? We see him. He grew up at 12. He's in the temple. You hear nothing till he's 30. All of a sudden, he gets baptized. Now he starts his ministry. But the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. God said, listen, what we're going to do is I'm going to train him up just like I'm going to train you up and just how you're living so that he can experience and go through the things that you're going through so that in the end, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. God came down to man. He said, I'm going to learn like you. I'm going to cover it all. So now there is no excuse when it comes to I can't relate to you. Yeah, I can relate to you. It would be a little bit different if God sat up on his throne and said, no, I'm not coming. We can just figure this thing out. My grace will be sufficient the whole life, and that thing will just cover it, and I'll meet their needs as sufficient. But God said, no, we're going to do one step further. I'm going to get off my throne, and I'm going to come down. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to learn what it means to live with a life of sin around us. Not that I am a sinner, because I never was. Let's get that straight. I'm going to learn what it means to live in a society and amongst people who are depraved, who don't want to have anything to do with me whatsoever. And at the same time, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to shut off my glory, and I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit just like you. I've done miracles, but I'm going to do it just like you. I'm going to rely upon God. I'm going to ask him to come in and infuse me with the power. I'm going to ask him to give me wisdom. He's going to help me grow. I'm going to do all the things that I'm going to ask you to do. So now what I can do is that now I can train you and so you can understand the way it's supposed to be done, because I've already done it. I was already in the wilderness. I was already tempted by the devil. I grew in wisdom. I understand what it means to doubt God. I understand because I understand you now. You see, now he said, I understand you now on a different level. It was good enough on one level. He said, listen, spiritually, yeah, I created you, and I want a relationship with you. But now, he said, we're going to get a little bit deeper. I'm going to understand you on a deeper level as in humanity. So now you have a high priest who's able to empathize with your weakness and sympathize with you because he's been tempted, guess what, in all points like you were, but yet without sin. So now you can come to God, and God says, I understand what you're feeling. Absolutely, I get it. I get it because I was there. But now let me help you get through it. You got a God who took care of everything. It's strange. So why did he come? In reality, yeah, he came to save, but there's one phrase in the Bible, in when you look at it, it's really why he came in John chapter 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He said, first thing, I'm the way. There's no one else before me. I don't care who came before me talking about there were Jesus. They're not right. I'm the way. I'm the way. And really, the person who has to answer that is you. You have to get to that point in your life where you say, now he is the way. And until you get that, you'll always walking around thinking, well, there's another option. There's no other options. There's no other option. You can walk down the street. You can find 5 coffee shops and say, well, they got to be the best one. There's options. But until you find the one, they got the best coffee. They got it. And I'll tell you what, without that coffee, I wouldn't be here today. You know how it works, okay? Listen, you don't want me before 8 without that coffee. And so what happens is that it's the same way. And all these things and all these other religions, they begin to spur up and they begin to jump up. And we're like, okay, which is the way? And until most of you have come from those. backgrounds. Now, I tried this, I tried that. Oh, I found Jesus. He's the way. I found he is the way for me. I'm telling you what, the way he has done things in my life and took me from here and moved me here, there has to be a God, and he's become so real to me because of what he's taken me through. There is nothing in my life that can ever deter me or dissuade me from the fact that he is the way. So let's just nail that right now. He's the way. Yeah, he's the truth and he's the life. But for you, understanding what the way looks like also means to understand, okay, now how am I supposed to live? If he's the way, how am I supposed to live now? You got to find your pasture. You find your pasture. What does that mean? You got to find the place of life for you. You got to find the place where you can graze in safety. He said, I came so that you may be saved. What was he saying? I came so that you could be saved from danger. I can preserve you and bring healing into your life. We have a God who wants to bring healing into our life. Not so that we can walk around in dead places and spaces, but so that healing can come into our life. And some of you might be saying right now, hey, listen, man, the last thing I want is healing right now. I really just want to stay into a place of cynicism, and I want to be in a place of just anger because it's easier to be that way just because of what's happened in my life. And so you have to make a decision of how long you want to stay that way as opposed to I really want to get some healing in my life, because there will come a time in your life where you will get sick of being sick of, and you will have to make a decision and say, I can't live like this anymore. I've got to get healing because it's killing my life. It's killing my joy. I'm not happy. I've got anxiety. There are things in my life that need to be dealt with. And so God says, we will go around this mountain and we will allow this to go where it needs to be until you finally get to a place where you say, no, he is the way. No, he is the way. Because guess what? When I was discouraged, when I was depressed, when I wanted to kill myself, all those different things, I turned to Jesus finally, and he came in and gave me hope, and he gave me peace, and he gave me joy, and now I can stand up, and I can sing in freedom, and I can smile, and I can laugh, and I can live with confidence because of what he's done. I'm not perfect. He's still doing something in my life, but I tell you what, when I turn finally to Jesus, that's when things started to make sense in my life, and so that's the place that you have to be. You've got to be in that place. Don't wait until, man, I just can't deal with it anymore. Just start early. You know, Christmas shopping right now, it's starting in July. You start seeing ads. And actually, no, if you go a little bit deeper, you can get on like Hallmark or HGTV like all year. Elf will be on, shows will be on, just to keep you in the spirit all year. Earlier and earlier, things are being set up. Earlier and earlier. Black Friday in September. They're just getting your mindset ready to go. Just to get you going, because you know the sales are coming. Listen, let's start early. What I'm trying to help you to see, let's not wait. Let's just start early. I don't feel like it. Just start early. Just take a step toward him. One of the things that you begin to realize, not just as you get older, but listen, planning is part of your life and helping you be successful, but so much so in your relationship with God, get things set up in an order early. Do you know the enemy, do you know the enemy will come at you at age 5 and 6 to help kill your life so that when you get older, that you have a distorted mindset about what love is, who God is, and what really life is about. He'll come in and try to bring distraction or try to bring confusion at an age so that you can really begin to see or begin to understand or not understand who God is. You know, between ages 5 and 7, things happen. I was abused at 7, between 5 and 7, that's what I remember. I look back at my life right now. Do you know that very little thing, as I begin to see it later, it was the enemy's plan to come in and try to wreck my thought process about who God is, because God knew what he was going to do with my life, and God knew the influence that I was going to have. And here I am today, and what God's going to do in my life and what he wants to do, he tried to get at me at that age, and I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for God along the way, keeping me and protecting me and shielding me, even through my teenage years, guys, I would not even be here today because of the level of attack that came at me early. I'm not talking about, well, God, he was like 12, he hit puberty and things started going south. No, we're talking about early. And not walking and being sad. Oh, man, not walking being sad, because it's part of what God does and what he wants to do. God takes things around and restores stuff. And everyone's been through stuff. But looking back at your life, you can pinpoint that stuff and say, oh, man, he tried to get in way early. Because he knew the exposure and the influence that my life and our life was going to have. And he tried to do it then. And so trying to help you in that thought process, so you'd have to go to counseling for years to try to get things unwound in your life. But I'm telling you what, God's good. God will take stuff and cut stuff off. When you turn to him, you don't have to wallow and go around in circle for years and be like, well, does he love me? Does he not love me? Does he love me? I can't believe it. It doesn't even matter. Listen, it was allowed. God allowed it. God could have intervened. Life is life. People do things to one another. Okay, that's just the way it is. And if you use that as an excuse that you're not going to move on in your relationship with God, it's sad. Talk to a counselor who probably sees it all the time, where people are thinking about stuff that happened to them still years ago that they should have got over. Toughen up. Something happened. Toughen up. I just feel that's the word. Because who hasn't gone through issues? I mean, look at your life even now. Look at your life. Hold on. And this stuff wouldn't even matter. When you were not saved, it wasn't even an issue. So much so. Because that's just the way it is. That was just normal for me. You know how we go through things, and God takes all that stuff, and he works it around. But what happens is when we get saved, we can look back and say, oh, man, God was so good. He was faithful. He protected me. He's going to use it, his goodness. But what we do is we get a little weird, and we look back, and we forget that stuff. We're like, well, I guess it was just part of God's plan. I just kind of had to deal with it. It was okay. It would happen. Look back and see the goodness of God. I'm trying to get you to see. Stop looking back at your life and say, well, that was a mistake. This was a mistake. No, if God is sovereign, God is in control, God can take situations, whether or not you caused them or did not cause them, and work it out for good. But you have to have the mindset that says, okay, he is good no matter what. You are who you are today because of what you went through. Don't apologize for it. Thank you, Maria Erickson, for being tough. I don't care if people don't like her. She's tough. I love that about her because of what she's been through. And also, she's healthy. You can be healthy. You can be tough. You can be a woman of God. You can be a child of God and be respected. I love her because of that. And people around that, I respect, because you know why? She's not a victim. Be around people who you respect and love. Everyone's got a story. Find your pasture, man. Every time the enemy comes in, just go to grazing and remember the goodness of God. I'll tell you what, God was so good during that time. Just graze, man, on the goodness of God. I'm so excited about this because you know why? Because we look back and we look back at our life and we almost apologize for it. Why? Don't apologize for it. God is so good. You're the man or woman today because of the grace of God in your life. And God, if he wanted you different, you would be different. You're cut the right way. You are the way God's called you to be. Oh, I've got some rough edges. We all do. But God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for you to be cut in the right way so that he can place you and use you, and so that the Spirit of God can come and weave us all together in this universal plan that God has for our life, and that we can go out and do what God has called us to do. It's all right. Find your pasture. One of the things about my personality, I have an investigator personality. I'm going to have that a little bit. You like to investigate things in your life. The one thing that you got to be careful about that is that you'll start to like, if it's not honed in. So you can look back over your life and you can investigate in an unhealthy way. And there's nothing wrong about investigating, because that curiosity is what keeps you pursuing God. God places that in us so that we can pursue Him and the deep things of God. But at the same time, what it does is that it also helps us help navigate other people in their life of what they feel like God is leading them to do in their life because of things that you went through. That's why even what Aaron said this morning in our team rally, how community is important, is because there are certain things that you have navigated through in your life that you can speak to other people through and help them get through because of what they've been through. That's why when you go through tough times, don't abdicate community. If you want to die quicker, just get alone. But the lie of the enemy is said, listen, you're not worth it. You don't have anything to offer. And so stay out of it. Don't even get around other people. It's a lie, because you are meant to be in community. What do we do here? Love God, embrace community, serve the world. And so that middle part is key right there. So you matter. Your presence matters. If I feel like I need to get healing, okay, set up steps to get some healing, walk through them. But not to go through it so you can cycle back through it for years. That's what God's not looking for that. If he came, if the Bible says that who the Son sets free is free indeed, I am free indeed. I don't feel it. Okay, walk like you are. Get a little counsel if you need to. But a counselor is not there to help you become codependent on your counselor. A good counselor will push you to do the work yourself, to help you get through the things you need to get through, because God wants you to get through those things so that you can be happier and find joy and realize that God was there the whole time. The whole time. Protecting you. I'm fired up about this because it is a tool of the enemy to keep you down so that you won't move forward until things are right in my life. Once you begin to move forward, he will make the crooked places straight. That's how he does it. Well, I needed to make it straight before I go. It doesn't work that way. That's not faith. You begin to walk, God will begin to make it straight, so you begin to see, oh, there you are the way. Santa! Jesus! And then what it does, it helps you walk differently. Because you realize that he died for you. So that you can be saved, yeah. But so that you can have life and have it to the full. Because life awaits. That's what the enemy doesn't want you to see. Life awaits. Not just in heaven, but here. God said, we're going to have a good time in heaven, but I want to give you a little bit of heaven here. Listen, you got people who are dealing with issues in here all over the place, okay? Guess what? Still smiling. Got joy. Because of who God is. It doesn't matter what happened, who did it, who cares. If you let that dictate your life, then you don't have as much control or power over your life than you think you do. Why would you give someone else the power to dictate your happiness? Why would you? Why? Because then what happens is then what you're saying is that they are greater, their outlook upon the way they see you is greater than your outlook on the way you see you. And then what happens is then instead of walking in freedom and victory, you become a victim. And then instead of really walking in freedom, you walk in fear, and the fear of man brings a snare. But if you trust in the Lord, you're kept safe. And so there's that battle and that line you have to play. Either A, you're going to get up and say, no, this is me. This is who I am. God's working on me. Yeah, he is. But I'm good. I'm still good, even though he's working on me. I'm worth it. And he's still, even though things are rough and I had a bad day, it don't mean I'm not good. I'm perfect in his sight. I am. Spiritually, my standing says I'm perfect and I'm righteous in his sight. I'm working that out every single day. But guess what? He still has a plan and purpose for me, and it doesn't matter. And I can still sit here and smile because I know life awaits. I'm experiencing life right now, and I'm excited about it because life awaits. How you doing? I'm doing great. Oh, you're just saying that. No, I'm doing great. No, I'm doing great. Well, there's so much going on. No, guess what? By faith, the just shall live by faith. I'm doing great. Because and all of a sudden what happens is I'm doing great. I am doing great. I just talk myself into greatness. Because I have the power of life and death in my tongue. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think yourself destitute, if you think yourself not worthy, downtrodden, you'll act that way. If you think, nah, I am doing great. Okay, yeah. Okay, things are happening. I'm still doing great. I'm excited about my life. I love my wife. I like my kids. I like them. I love them. Okay? Yeah, I like the goodness of God. There are things I'm believing God for. God's still good. Okay? There's things, I'm living life because that's what he's called me to live. Have life and have it to the full. I'm on my way to experiencing more life. Because as God comes in and continues to do things in my life and expand me and bring healing, guess what? More life comes out. And that's the thing that God is trying to get us through so that we can be able to see on the other side. On the other side, there's always life, but you have to go through death first. No, no. Yeah, you got to. It's Christmas season, and so obviously in my house every night there is a Christmas movie on of some kind, okay, because that's just what we do. Things happen. It's the way we connect. And so the other night we were watching, I think it was Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause. And so great movie. And so in the movie, Jack Frost is in the movie, I believe. Okay, Santa Claus 3. And so, you know, he's bitter. He's cold. Okay. He has issues because he's not Santa. And so he's going through identity crisis himself. Okay. And so he's trying to figure out what he can do. And he tries to go around and try to usurp it and get Santa to say something that he's not supposed to say. Because when he said it, guess what? He abdicates being Santa. And now Jack Frost becomes Santa. And the whole movie is about what happened if he becomes Santa. And the movie plays out where the North Pole becomes something totally different. And then at the end, finally Tim Allen says, oh, I got to do it. And he finally realizes that I'm made to be Santa. And this whole thing goes back. And, you know, the push and pull of it and the emotions are there. And finally, I think it's Susie. Okay, one of the daughters, okay? At the end of the movie, remember this whole process goes through and Jack Frost comes in, they bring him in with the fake elves, okay? And they're coming in and one of the ways they break him down, do you remember? At the end, they tell the girl and the girl says, and Santa have a little conversation and they look at each other and they say, okay, do you think it'll work? Let's give it a try. And so they all wound up. It's really intense. In Santa Claus 3, it gets intense at the end. I don't know what, okay? And they're walking up to one another. They're looking at each other. And all of a sudden, she gives him a big hug. And you begin to see him begin to literally defrost. Completely change his mindset, his attitude. He begins to melt down because love broke down that hardness from a kid's hug. Isn't that what love does? And all of a sudden he changes. And now he wants warm hugs like Olaf, man. The whole movie, okay, at the end of the movie, everyone's coming in. They're hugging one another. Like, come on, I want hugs from everybody. He totally changes. His demeanor changes, everything else. Isn't that what love does? Doesn't it come down and break through hardness? Isn't that what that baby did in that manger? Broke through stuff? And isn't that what he's doing today? Because God is love. And so everything he does is based on a motivation of love. And what it does is that it breaks down your walls. It breaks down your hardness as the band comes up. And it helps you come into the realization of the fact that I am genuinely loved in my life. Love. He knows how to break down the hardest of hearts. For Jack Frost, it was a kid. And I've said this before. You don't realize and recognize the love of God until you have kids of your own in a different way. Because there's nothing that you would do or not do for those kids. And God said, there was nothing that I wouldn't do for you. So much so, I'm not just going to arrive on the scene as a man. I'm going to start from the beginning. And we're going to go through the whole process from conception to delivery till death. I'm going to go through the whole thing with you. I'm going to go through the whole thing with you. So that you can understand that when you sing songs to me that say Emmanuel, God with us, that it's not just some song that you sing. Because I was with you in the Old Testament in types and shadows. And in the New Testament, I was veiled in flesh, born of a woman, in human form. Born so that I could take away the sins of the world, your sin, and give you life. That's the one. I'm going to show you so much so, and in the end, it's going to be strange. Because the way I came in is not going to be necessarily the way I go out. And the way that I go out, I'm going to stretch myself up on a cross, and I'm going to let him do it. You understand that? I'm going to let him do it. Because I could have called down a legion of angels, but I said, no, this wasn't what God asked me to do. And I'm going to go willingly, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to let the whole world know that I'm going to die with my arms stretched out like this and my feet together. So that every time you doubt me, you can look back. Not only at the way I came and the way I lived, but how I died. Not only did I die willingly, I got back up on my own accord. Three days later, two and a half, who's counting? I'm going to get back up my own accord. Scars, piercing in my side, full of life. Before I go into heaven, I'm going to go down. I'm going to take care of what's happening below. But you're going to understand and know that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will never, ever die. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am it. So if I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, that's what I want you to have. I am all about life. I'm all about life. And so when you see kids playing and you see kids having a good time, that's a representation of God right there. Just having life, not having a care in the world, just being excited about life, knowing that, hey, life's good. When you see mothers and fathers and daughters and families coming together and around a table, that's life. Hope, joy, peace, all that stuff. That's part of the life that I bring. So when I come in, and we're about to close, when I come in and things happen and you don't understand why they're happening, all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to see that there is life. I'm trying to take you from death over into life. What that is doing to you is not profitable for you. I'm trying to get you to see that there's life in it. And so if it dies, let it die. If it's cut away, let it be cut away. You don't need it. You need to be connected with me. And then once you're connected with me, that stuff doesn't even matter. It's life. You should walk out here today with your arm around somebody and say, what's up? I'm just having life. We're just enjoying life together. No, you should not leave here today depressed. Well, you don't understand. I get it. We all got stuff, but there's still life. Babies are being born by the hour. People are dying by the hour. God's still over those being born. God's still over those who are dying to go see him. God is still sovereign. He's in control. He is the resurrection and the life. If God wanted to resurrect something back in your life, it would be resurrected back in your life. If it is gone and dead, let it be dead. And you know that is better for you anyway. Because God is good. Life. Craig, I'm trying to bring life into you. This is Christmas time. It's the time, guys, for believing, receiving, giving. I understand it's hard and it's difficult at times, but that should not dissuade the fact of the reality of who Jesus Christ is and why he came. You don't know my history. I know God's history. You don't know, well, you don't know what I've been through. I know what God can take you through. I've been through life, I've been divorced so many times I can't even count. So what? God still loves you. He still loves you. Well, he still loves you. He's still pursuing you. It's the reason why you're crying. Because the Spirit of God coming back and bringing life and saying, hey, listen, I still love you regardless. I love you regardless. I love you regardless. I got good things for you. It's over. No, it's not over. I still have good things for you. If you put it back into my hand and let me take it and let me just do something with it, I'll bring good back into your life in a healthy way, and you'll finish better. God wants you to finish better. It may not be the way you want it, but God wants you to finish better. He'll turn around, and he knows how to do it. It's strange, but it's a manger thing. Let's all stand to our feet. I can go all day today. I just can go all day. I tell you, some of you need just to go away. I'm not saying in a place, just at your house, somewhere else, and just have a just get along with God. Have a time. Just have a time. Just get in there. I mean, put on some worship music. Get along with God and just have a time. I'm telling you what, for me, those are the times where I begin to see the goodness of God like no other before. But you got to have those times with you where it's like, it's not cute worship. It's you worship with God, really. Or where you bare your soul before God and say, nah, I can't do it. And you allow God to come in and infiltrate those times in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and so that he can get in by his Spirit and bring healing in your life so that joy can come back again. You got to get into that. Talking about helping people navigate through their own life. That's one of the ways you help navigate through your Christian walk, is that you love God, you get away with God, you spend those times with God that are intimate, that are hard sometimes, that are raw. You just got to get alone and allow God to get in. He already sees it. Let him get in. Just worship it. Worship it. Worship it out. I'm telling you, just worship it out. Get in there. Cry about it. Get in there. Sometimes we come to God and it's like, Lord, I just give it to you. God said, No, give it. Let's get in there and let's get at it. Well, God's just, no, let's get, David was brutally honest with God. He already knows. Be brutally honest. God, just get in it. Help me navigate through this. Bring the healing. I can't see right. And he'll begin to bring stuff up. But you got to get in there in that place of intimacy and worship and allow God to do it. And don't be afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, you won't get through it. Don't be afraid of it. It's just the pain. It's just the pain. The pain is necessary. Because once you release it and God comes into your life, it then produces power. For you to be able to see victory in your life, you got to get in. God already knows the emotion of it. God already knows the hardship of it. God already knows that you don't want to do it anymore. Get in. That's how you help start in your life. That's the first thing we do here. You got to do hard things to love God. Well, that means this. Tears. Things. Yes, strange things. Salty substances falling from your eyes. Those things, okay? Getting in real worship stuff. Forgiveness. Lord, only God can do it. He knows how. And then after that, what you do is you get around community. Get around. I'm struggling. It's okay. But around other believers, I'm worshiping. I don't feel it. But God's still good. And you know what? They're bringing, wow, solutions are coming into my life. Things are happening. I'm seeing, oh, I see that. And I begin to see, you know what? I'm not as bad off as I should be. I'm not as bad off as I could be. You know why? If God did it for them, they're no better than I am. I am still valued. God still loves me. And all of a sudden, you begin to walk a little bit different. You walk around other people. Put your hand around people. You're a little more jovial. You're confident. You're crying at the same time. It doesn't even matter. And then we have opportunities. What do I do now? Serve the world. Find a place to serve. Bring in underwear. Go to a community outreach on December 22nd. Feed the homeless. You'll really begin to see. Oh, no, I'll tell you what. I'm not as bad. That'll change you real quick. I'm convinced that you get around sick people long enough, you'll change your tune. Be like, thank you, Lord, for the fact that I'm not where they need to be. Take me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you're doing. It's not as bad as it probably could be. Thank you that my perspective is changing. Thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, you begin to change. I mean, okay, it's not done yet, but I'm better. Those are the three things we do here. And I'll tell you, you have those three things operate in your life? You will. In fitness, we call these cocky walks, okay? On the feet like this, you walk. It's a warm-up, this. Just to get your legs ready, right? You'll begin to walk around a little differently. Not a weird walk, but just kind of just a little differently. Just more confidence in your life. Just more, hey, I know who God is. I'm not trying to show off. Some of us, and it's okay, guys. We're renting now, so we'll stay here for a little bit. Listen, some of us, we just get ashamed, man, at, like, being who we are and, like, being confident about who God's called us to be because I don't want people to think I'm something I'm not. Listen, people will let you know, especially if you're in community with the right people. They will let you know when you're probably a little bit out, but at the same time, don't allow the fear of what other people are going to think about you to stop you from being you. And because boundaries are necessary, yes. And people will let you know when they're needed. But also what you have to get is that if you're around community, you are giving other people the right to speak into your life. So don't come if you don't want people to speak into your life. Because that's really one of the mandates of a church. You embrace community because community helps you navigate and get better. I don't like what they have to say. It's going to take you a long time to get through some stuff in your life. But you got to be willing to do that hard stuff. Come on, Malik. Come on. You missed me, man. You missed me. We got to talk. Hit me later. My hand's up. Hit my hand. All right, good. Father, we thank you for this day. You've been good. Thank you for the love, God, that you've given us. The joy, Lord, that you just bestow upon us just because of your son. You said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, God, for that strength coming into our life even today. Thank you, God, for us recognizing that you are the way. You're the truth. You're the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. We recognize that today. Thank you, God, for us finding our pasture. Thank you for people in here just finding those places in their life where they remember the goodness of God. They can just go out and graze on your goodness and what you've done. Thank you, God, for those things. Even the times of intimacy, God, I pray that you would help people get back to that with you. As we talk about in the series, Only Jesus, that we would come back into that intimate place with you and just focus upon you and worship our way through it. Help us to come to a deeper place of you, of our value, our worth in you, and as a result, walk differently, walk confidently in what you've called us to do. Because we know that you've come to give us life and give it to us to the full. I thank you, God, that people are going to walk out of here feeling full of life today, feeling encouraged, feeling that you have actually good things for them in their life, and that the best is actually yet to come, and that they can walk through this knowing that there's goodness on the other side because you are good.